Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, a call-in for anyone who has built an unconventional family. Does this sound like you?
I think it's very, very hard to live in a nuclear family. It's very hard to have it be just mom and dad, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, but two people raising a family together and trying to keep a romantic relationship together and not having other adults living in the house with you. I know it sounds crazy, but I really do think it's an awful lot to take on.
Oh, the old adult-to-child conundrum, that ratio. And that's local performance artist and dancer Lucy Sexton, the subject of the latest episode of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money podcast. Now, after a quick break, we'll talk with host Anna Sale about this latest episode, which profiles Sexton's unconventional family structure. So to have this conversation, we're opening up the phones for anyone who has felt left out by the nuclear family model and is trying to reinvent family life. 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692, single mom, two dads, unmarried but still living together with kids, forging a relationship after divorce or remarriage, fertility challenges. How about raising kids in a group home? It did sound like Lucy Sexton there was going toward the adult-to-child relationship. How can just two people also trying to have a romantic relationship ever do this with a child or children at home? So is there a new version of the old-fashioned extended family with more adults in the home that you're a part of and you want to call up about? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Tell us your stories of your non-nuclear family with children, 212-433-9692. One stat. In 2011, 46% of American kids were born to unmarried moms. That's one way to have a non-nuclear family. More than a third of LGBT Americans are parents. So we'll tease out what makes a family work, no matter the structure. 212-433-WNYC. Call in with your non-nuclear family stories, 212-433-9692. And we'll be joined by Anna Sale, host of the Death, Sex, and Money podcast, which is all about that this week. Stay with us. WNYC and Anna Sale joins me in studio, host of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money podcast. Her latest episode profiles performance artist Lucy Sexton. We heard a clip of her before the break. We'll hear another one coming up. Isn't really buying the idea of a nuclear family in the old-fashioned way as the best method. So let's hear your stories about your non-nuclear families, your anti-nuke families, 212-433-WNYC. Hey, Anna.
Hi, Brian.
Tell us more about Lucy Sexton. Such an interesting arrangement that she has.
Yeah, and the first thing that's really interesting about Lucy Sexton is she started her life in a very conventional family arrangement. She was married when she was 27 years old, then decided she wanted to have kids when she was in her mid-30s, but her husband didn't want to have kids, and that marriage ended when she was in her late 30s. So then she really wanted to be a mother and didn't have a partner to do it with, so had to figure out how to do that. And she had been longtime friends with Stephen Daltrey, who's a famous theater and film director, who's also openly gay. They decided to have a child together. And through the process of years of trying to get pregnant, she was late in life. She was in her early 40s by the time she got pregnant. They got very close, decided they didn't want to just have a kid together. They wanted to create a family structure together. So they got married. And now, so they're married. Now she also continues to live in this loft with other grown-ups, including another mom who has a daughter the same age as her daughter, and they're raising the girls as sisters.
As sisters, in effect. They're not biological sisters.
Exactly.
So it's her friend who they're now redefining their relationship as sisters, but it's really sister moms because they each have a kid.
Exactly. And but there is a commitment that there's a lifetime arrangement here. They when they decided to do this, they said, let's try it out, but it's really worked. And so they've told the girls, this is your sister. We're protecting this unit as if it were biological.
Oh, the children are being raised as if they're sisters.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And so where does the gay man husband fit into this?
They continue to be married. Lucy says they have a lifetime commitment to raising this daughter together. He splits his time between British, so sometimes he's in London, so Lucy goes with the daughter and they're there. When he's in New York, he's there at the loft with all the rest of the family and the other grown-ups who live in this loft.
And do they negotiate responsibilities if they're not really related, but they're trying to form this intentional community in their home that, you know, certain ones cook dinner X number of times a week, or you have to be together at the dinner table so we create this family experience, stuff like that?
Oh, I asked Lucy about that because I thought, my gosh, it's so complicated financially to figure out, even when you're married, how to pay for a kid. And I said, has that been difficult? And she said, well, you know, I've lived with grown-ups and had roommates my entire adult life in this loft, so I'm used to sitting down at the kitchen table splitting bills, and that's how we do it.
And we'll hear a little more of Lucy in her own words coming up. Let's hear some of our listeners' non-nuclear family stories. Mark in Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's your situation?
My ex and I have been separated actually for a couple of years, and she came out about 2012 as a lesbian. She now lives with her girlfriend. I live alone, and we share time with our daughter, who is turning 5 now and is just in that process now of starting to ask questions about the situation.
Interesting. What do you say? How do you explain it?
Well, you know, when you're talking to a 5-year-old, it's kind of like, you know, some girls love girls, some girls love boys, some boys love girls, some boys love boys, and it's just about the love part is the most important thing. The interesting thing about it was that as our marriage started to end, I was kind of vehemently opposed to divorce because I had come from a divorced family, and this is before she came out. But actually her coming out kind of made things easier because now kind of no matter what, I'll always be her only daddy. I don't have to worry about having to share that responsibility with someone else, with a stranger, with someone that I'm worried about. They're going to take that father figure role from me.
And Mark, thank you very much. And there are a lot of family. You live in the Oranges. Maplewood has a lot of, lesbian couples living together, gay men couples living together. Some of them have exes like you. So there's community out there. I get the sense, Anna, of isolation from Mark's call, and I'm just reacting on the level of they don't have to be so isolated.
Exactly. I mean, that was the hope with this episode of you know, the thing that Lucy Sexton says so beautifully is, you know, she grew up one of 6 kids in Park Slope and in Fort Greene in Brooklyn, Irish Catholic family, and loved that sense of community and a big family. And so when she wanted to have a family, to her family meant lots of people. It meant lots of siblings. And so it wasn't going to work for her to have a bunch of kids because she started having kids later in life. But so she's recreated it. I just wanted to tell that story because I think when our plans get interrupted, just to see the way that she's constructed the family that she wanted.
Laika in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. Hi. We live in a bit of an unconventional by fluke in that we live in a two-household brownstone, but the kids, we trade off on nights, going out and this and that, and if anything comes up, the other, you know, we just share responsibly for the kids, and it's worked out great.
How many adults are there in your situation?
It's a 4 adults, 3 kids, and it really does help. And also just, I mean, my family background, I grew up, and this is, I'm part Vietnamese. I came out of Vietnam. I know many people from Vietnam, from Cambodia, from other developing countries where circumstances beyond have created many weird family mixes, which were unplanned. I mean, I work in development, so I know people from West Africa, East Africa. It's not that uncommon, actually. The definition of nuclear family, I think, is quite different in other parts of the world.
Leica, thank you very much. And maybe it's the only way a lot of people can afford a brownstone in Brooklyn. Thank you very much for your call. So I want to play a little more of your piece, Anna. This is a little longer stretch of Lucy Sexton describing how she built her current family or household arrangement with her gay husband and her other woman friend. They're both raising daughters together, as you described, these sort of, you know, two moms raising their daughters as if they were sisters. And we'll hear a bit of Anna in this clip. Lucy speaks first, I believe.
And at the beginning I said, you know, we don't really know each other that well. If it doesn't work out, well, then we lived together when the kids were young. It's not so traumatic for them, you know. As it has turned out, it's turned out exactly how I had wanted, which is that we have raised the girls as sisters. It has been a really good family, extended family unit. And yeah, the kids are a year apart. So I travel lots of time with my two daughters, and I refer to them as my daughters, et cetera, and they talk to each other as sisters. They're both quite clear. There's mommy and other mommy for both of them.
As your daughters gotten older, your daughters have gotten older, what's your conversation about family like? How do you explain what family is?
One interesting thing is that you do have to be conscious and intentional about who you are telling them is family. Because, you know, we have lots of grown-ups who also have other relationships, and then I also live in the loft with other roommates, and in one sense, they're all part of an extended family and have been, and it's been incredibly valuable. On the other hand, they need to know who's never leaving. Who are you going to live with the rest of your life no matter what?
That from Anna Sales' Death, Sex, and Money podcast, the latest edition about Lucy Sexton and her unconventional family setup. And that's pretty fraught, what she brought up at the end there. What do you tell the children in this situation about who is really family, and what does family mean? If family usually means these people are committed to you until death do you part.
That's right. We go on from there in our conversation. I said, well, I'm divorced, and I've had that situation where I had nieces, a nephew who now I'm no longer married to his uncle. And she said, yeah, that happened with me too. So life happens. That's one thing. But the other thing, when you're creating an unconventional family, it's really important to create boundaries for her kids, as she said, about saying these are the people that are never, they're always going to be in your life. And making that clear so that you're protecting the investment that they have in the people that they love.
Roberta in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roberta.
Hi. I have a one-child, one-mom family, and it's very, very intense, but it's worked out for us. And it's always been important to have other people in our lives. And I made a big effort to make a lot of friends because I really didn't know a lot of people with kids before I started. I adopted her from China when she was almost two and I was almost 50. And it's, you know, as I said, it has been very intense, but I really like the idea that I don't have to, I've always liked the idea that I don't have to worry about maintaining a relationship with a partner in addition to maintaining a relationship with my child, that I could always put her first. Now, whether this is good, bad, or otherwise, I think it's worked out for us.
Well, I think it acknowledges some of the complexity that a partner is support, but a partner is also work.
Yeah. and you know, you're not alone. I mean, the percentage of kids in New York City who have a single mom, it's around 42 to 44%. It's hovered around that for the last 4 or 5 years. So 4 in 10 kids in this city are being raised by a single mom.
Roberta, did you ever think about the kind of multi-parent, multi-child household that we've heard about from one of our previous callers and from Anna's case study?
I couldn't. That I don't think that would work for me. I grew up with two brothers. I was the oldest, And even though, and we had two parents, and even, you know, with the five of us, it just seemed fraught.
Too much to negotiate.
It was complicated.
If you can't even imagine one husband, then how do you negotiate all these other grown-ups?
You know, I didn't trust myself to be in a relationship. I had a lot of really crappy relationships.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, it was just, I was just seized when I met my daughter to be the best mom I can. And I know I wasn't always the perfect mom, for sure.
Nor was anybody else.
But I think I was a good enough mom. And, of course, now she's 18,
yeah,
and she'll be going away to college in August.
Congratulations.
And I'm terrified.
And you should be proud. Thank you for your call. And how much of a role for someone like Lucy Sexton does career and, for lack of a better word, ego play? Is this a case of someone who's motivated, has a career and ambitions, and feels like embracing the nuclear family model would have gotten in the way of that?
She says a couple of things about that. The first thing she says is, as an artist, that she thinks she's a lot less ambivalence about being a mother than her other younger artist friends, because she was in her 40s when she became a mom. So she'd gotten to have a full career prior to becoming a mom. And because of the arrangement in the loft with other grown-ups, it does allow her to leave when she's going to go do performances somewhere else. There's childcare kind of built into the household. So that's also part of the arrangement. But she says very much, when I asked her about her marriage, she said, you know, it's, you know, I am a wife, but really my identity is mom. I think of that as my role, is taking care of this family.
We had a caller from Connecticut. She couldn't wait to go on the air, who said she and her friends sometimes joke about polygamy and sort of say to themselves how much easier it would be if they could just share all the work.
There's a lot of work to be done,
so,
that's for sure.
Who knows? You know, the opponents of gay marriage always say, well, this is going to open the door for legalized polygamy. This is maybe the case for legalized polygamy.
Well, the other thing is, in New York City, you know, we haven't talked about, but it's grandparents being in the household. A quarter million grandparents live with their grandchildren in this city. 30% of those grandparents are in charge of childcare for those kids. So that's another arrangement that we haven't talked about.
You're still collecting stories on your site, even though this episode of the podcast is out, right?
That's right, yeah. But part of the podcast is introducing you to these people and getting into some very intimate details of their lives, and then hoping it sparks a conversation about how other people are figuring out and navigating the big stuff of how to take care of kids.
All right, here are Lucy Sexton's whole story on Anna Sales' podcast, Death, Sex, and Money, at WNYC.org.
That's right.
Anna, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.